There we go. If you don't recognize me, my name is Melinda Reed, and I oversee spiritual growth here at High Point, and I am really blessed to be here today. I have been gone for about 6 weeks battling a journey of health mishaps, and I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for the countless prayers and support and cards and meals and encouragement that Greg and I have received over the last 6 weeks. I can't express how much it has really upheld us, and I am grateful to be here and slowly on the mend. I'm here today and just taking one step at a time, and just really grateful to be here to celebrate today. I wasn't going to miss today because it's a little bit different today. Instead of a message, we are going to highlight what's going on in our global partnerships around the world. It's such an important piece for you to know as you're a part of it, and it's perfectly nestled within two series. Kevin just came off of a series on relationships where we talked about friendships. Mark and Christy talked to us about marriages. We talked about parenting, these important relationships, and he highlighted Matthew 28 last week, that we are to go and make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and go throughout all the earth. And the go in that verse is very much about relationship. And it's very much about mission, because it's us taking the kingdom in relationship to those who don't know him. So we're highlighting some of those things today. And as we look towards next week, where Kevin is going to focus on some of the social unrest that is penetrating our society today, I feel like it goes perfectly with what we're talking about today, because the people around the world, they're different than us. They look different than us. They talk different than us. They have different political views. They have different heritages. They have different cultures. But as a missional church, we are called to reach all people. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and through the ends of the earth." That means for all people in all places, that is our call. Some of that means in the relationships that we have in our homes that we've been talking about, those in our community, the people that are different than us in the community that Kevin will be addressing in coming weeks. It means that we are to go throughout the world, and sometimes that means not physically, but through partnership, through prayer, through financial support. So today, nestled between the relationship series and the racism series that Kevin's going to talk about in just a little bit, we're going to talk about missions today, and we're going to celebrate. I pray that you're challenged. I pray that you're convicted. I pray that you are charged with the mission of sharing the gospel. And I want to start, just before we begin, with a little time of confession to you. When I was growing up in church and missionaries would come, there weren't like fancy screens. They would usually lay a big map out. I had a tendency to kind of check out. I was a teenager. That's just what I did. But if you were sitting with my mom and a missionary was in town, you had no choice to check out, because my mom was passionate about missions. The missionaries would come to our house after they shared that day. We were all about missions. And if for some reason I was not engaged during that time, I might get a flick on the ear or a pinch. She was a great pincher. Or the look, if I wasn't paying attention. And so I say all that to say, I encourage you to engage in the next 20, 30 minutes of what is going on. Because we serve in a church that highlights missions, that we believe in the Great Commission, and it's something to celebrate. But you have a choice to engage or just sit there, and I just challenge you to celebrate together, to be challenged, to pray together at the end as we are, and just enjoy what God is doing beyond the walls here. And I want us to start today. And by the way, don't make me come out there. Just don't make me do that. I want to start with Cheryl Moyd, who is going to talk to us about Guatemala, which is our longest partnership. We started in Guatemala very early on in the days of the church, and Cheryl's going to give you some updates on that.
Good morning. As Melinda said, my name is Cheryl Moyd, and I have been blessed to be a part of our mission work in Guatemala since 2013, and So part of my charge with being here today is maybe just to cultivate in your heart a little bit, maybe that the angst that you want to join us when we're able to go back in country, which I'm hoping will be soon. Our first connection into Guatemala with the area that we work in currently is with Pastor Diego, and together with his wife Mary, they are in a small town called Santiago, which is in the region of Lake Atitlan, and they head up the Good Shepherd Church. And Pastor Diego has a heart condition for really planting churches throughout the lake region and cultivating relationship. And so through that networking, we were able to connect in with one of his deacons, Brother Tomas, and together with his wife, Elena, they are in a small village called Cerro de Oro, which is pretty isolated, and they head up the church plant Mission Bautista. And most recently, High Point was able to help them renovate their church so that they have a building and a structure where they can do work and have worship. And we often do events at their church. In addition to that, when we send teams in the summer, we build a house for a family in need. Each summer that we go back, we bring a food bag and we cultivate relationship. We pray with families. And over the years, we've been able to build 25 homes and establish relationship with 25 families, which is pretty amazing. And we do women's ministry, marriage conferences, leadership trainings. And then in addition, because of Pastor Diego's connections in the community, we're able to partner with a local public school that serves kids from pre-K all the way through middle school. And when the pandemic hit, that school went on shutdown like many of ours here in the States. But unlike us, they don't have the infrastructure to support distance learning. There's no Wi-Fi, there's no laptops. And while they could equip students with paper and pencil, at home, there's no support. Many times the parents are illiterate. So education is definitely a challenge. Just more recently, we did learn that vaccinations have made it to Guatemala, but it's really reserved for the elderly and for medical personnel unless you're connected to the political system, which is part of the issue with a developing country. They don't have a strong medical infrastructure, especially in the area that we work in, so we would covet your prayers for health. Another challenge of the pandemic is tourism has come to a halt. So many of the artisans are unable to sell their products in the marketplace, and so that means that they're unable to provide for their families. So one of the things that you can do, and you'll notice this on your handout, is that Orphan Outreach, who we have been connected with in our mission work, has a marketplace online, and it's a free trade system, and so a fair trade system, and so you can maybe check that out. But one of the things that I'm just really grateful for is your support of High Point Missions, because we were able early on to send 200 food bags to families and to the school when the pandemic hit. And that can feed a family up to 30 days, depending on their size. And I've just learned that we're going to be able to send another 200 food bags. And that's because of your generosity and your investment in our missions here at High Point. So I thank you for that. And I'm going to invite you to watch a video. It doesn't have audio, but it will at least let you see what the process is like for picking up food bags in this area. And I just am really grateful for our mission focus here. So thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Joy Casey, and I'm just so delighted to be able to share with my church family. We're going now from Guatemala to the continent of Africa, specifically to East Africa, the Horn of Africa, and the country of Ethiopia. I have been working in the southern part of Ethiopia for 14 years. I oversee a holistic outreach to Muslim groups in the southern part, like I said, of Ethiopia. And we share the gospel and do evangelism through indigenous missionaries, same tribe, same culture, same language people. But we also do community development in these areas that could be orphan care, schools, bringing water in, building houses, animal husbandry, and things like that. The video that you are about to see is going to just be a little snapshot. The pictures can say it much better than I can. So you can see how High Point Church and New Life Ethiopia, the organization that I'm with, have God has used to impact and to change and rewrite people's lives.
Good morning, High Point Church. Greetings from Asafa and Sarur, the two indigenous missionaries supported by High Point's mission outreach who are sharing Christ with Muslims in Ethiopia. There is an exciting church planting movement among the Hadea people. God has mightily used Asafa to establish a strong church in the main town that has subsequently birthed nine other churches. Sarur is one of seven missionaries working among the Alaba people, a tribe entrenched in fundamental aggressive Islam. A new church building is underway for the approximately 100 converts, the first Christian church there ever. There is no school in this village, so Sarur and his partner have started a literacy program to teach the fundamentals of reading as well as Bible stories with application. Because of your generosity, God's word is faithfully preached to people who have never before heard the truth of Jesus. Thank you, High Point Church.
And now we're going to travel up north in Ethiopia to the very, very border with Eritrea and to a place called Tigray. It's like a state. And then we're going to zoom into a city there called Shiri, where High Point Church has been supporting the pastor there, Pastor Temeskin, for several years now. And he is just an amazing man of God, and he reaches out to the Ethiopian Orthodox community, which you'd think you'd say, well, he's reaching out to a Christian people. The Ethiopian people, the evangelical people, don't consider the Ethiopian Orthodox Church as it's a church of works, based on works and earning your way to heaven. It's a lot of blend of Judaism with Orthodoxy, and it's a lot like what Jesus faced with the Pharisaical block when he started his ministry. They just are very, very resistant to the gospel message of the good news of salvation by grace. And they can also be very aggressive toward evangelical. So it's not been a hard road to hoe for Pastor Temeskin. But if there is one word that I would use to describe this man, it is perseverance. About 15 months ago, High Point Church sent a team of us to Shiri to meet Pastor Temeskin and see for ourselves the work that he was doing in that area. And we were impressed. He has started 11 churches. They have a Bible college with about 60 students. He has an outreach to prostitutes and to refugee camps from Eritrea. They have a huge outreach to community children through Compassion International. And I could go on and on. But unfortunately, evangelism, as Temeskin knows it, and as we are think of evangelism, has been interrupted. There has been a civil war in Tigray between the Ethiopian federal troops and the Tigrayan regional leadership. It was a short-lived war, but two or three weeks long, but it left devastation in its wake, as all wars do. About 500,000 people were displaced within Tigray. The critical infrastructure there is in shambles, and people are in crisis. In Shiri alone, there's 130,000 displaced people. So Temeskin and his team went and assessed, what could we do as a church? What is the most urgent needs in the church? And they determined that it was food for children. There were signs of malnutrition among children over the last 3 or 4 months due to food scarcity. They were seeing dizziness, lethargy, and diseases related to lack of food. So Temeskin has started a food program for 600 children of single mothers. Daily food, he gives them a free lunch every day, plus some food staples to their mother. The mothers also get to eat. And when I read his proposal, I just thought, this is amazing that he has such a big vision. But one thing is, Temeskin knows he serves a big God, and he's not afraid of proposing big things. So every day, you think that's a lot to procure and fix food and serve 600 children. They do it through 3 different schools in Shiri every day. But also the cost is just a Herculean cost. Ethiopia's economy has tanked. That means inflation has skyrocketed. The cost of food is 2 to 3 times higher than it was even 4 or 5 months ago. But along with the food service that he's giving to these children, he is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He told me, I am making disciples. And I said, indeed you are, Temeskin, because that is who you are. And he's also mentoring families with social issues. He, this fall, of the school-aged children, of the 600 children that he is feeding every day, he will make sure that they are enrolled in school, that they have uniforms, school books, and registration fee that is required to go to school in Ethiopia. And then his church is also offering trauma counseling for those who need it. So we are delighted to be among several churches and organizations and individuals that are helping Temescal meet this humanitarian crisis. And I'm delighted, absolutely delighted, to be able to tell you that High Point Church has donated $7,500 to help with this humanitarian crisis in Tigray. And I'm so grateful for you, and I just encourage you to continue supporting missions so we can meet emergency needs like this and also continue to have a viable, vibrant outreach to the Orthodox community in Tigray and to the Muslims where I work in the southern part of Ethiopia. We've done a lot this morning. We've been in Guatemala, South America, then we came to the continent of Africa, and now we're going to shift gears again and go to Papua, Indonesia, where Jonathan and Molly Schultz work with Wycliffe.
Well, I've been waiting to interview Molly and Jonathan for some time. I've been so excited to hear their story, because as I told you about my mom and our rules for when missionaries came, it rubbed off on me, and I just have always been intrigued by the story. And Jonathan and Molly came here 2 years ago to stay for 9 months, and they're still here, in case you didn't do that math quick enough. And we've been kind of waiting till right before they left to interview them, but we just decided we were going to do it today. So Jonathan, tell us a little bit about how you make the decision to leave life here and go to Indonesia.
So to start with, I'll think about this in terms of the big picture. There's this vision that John has in the book of Revelation in chapter 5, where he sees people from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb, saying salvation belongs to our God. There's people from every nation, tribe, people, and language there. In order for that to happen, that future vision of what's going to happen, there has to be things that happen today and in our generation and in future generations to make that a reality. Specifically with what Wycliffe does is part of the language, people from every language. Wycliffe helps translate the Bible into languages that still don't have the Bible in that language yet. There's roughly around 7,000 languages spoken in the world that are known of. And in Indonesia, there's about 700 spoken. So 1/10 of all the languages in the world in Indonesia alone. The easternmost two provinces of West Papua and Papua have around 260 languages spoken there. So there's a lot of linguistic diversity, but in addition to that, West Papua and Papua are also very remote places. There's not many roads. The only way to get around is either on foot or by boat or by airplane. So these remote villages like this, I did a runway survey out, and these people had built a runway. They took over 10 years building a runway because they wanted access some way besides on foot. So they built it for themselves. The main reason why I'm helping there, though, is for Bible translators. So there's the next slide has a picture of Mike Moxness and Pinatus. This is from 2011. They were translating the Aoye New Testament. They've since finished that New Testament, and it was dedicated in September of last year, and they're working on the Old Testament. It's a long, long-haul process, but it's definitely worth it, and that's, God is doing that for people from every nation, tribe, people, and language. I'll show one more picture from This is the Wadopin language. They're dedicating a Jesus film, which is based on the Gospel of Luke. So once the Gospel of Luke was translated, they dubbed over the Jesus film and then released that. Kind of as portions come available, they're releasing different portions.
So Molly, you and I talked about this a little bit before. How did you make that decision, or what was that like, you going from living here to being in Indonesia? How did that look for you?
So, yeah, it's a really long process. I guess just a quick answer, when I first wanted to, I guess, become a missionary, or like a long-term missionary, was when I heard another missionary with a different organization just sharing about how he raised his kids in that part of the world, and the transformation that he got to see in the tribe that they worked with, how their lives changed completely once they heard the gospel. And I thought I would do that. Like, I would really enjoy living that life. For some reason, my friends thought that was crazy, but I was into it. So God has led me every step of the way through the whole to where we are now.
But I know that for you, being a part of your having your family here and leaving, what was hard.
For sure.
It was hard. Jonathan, tell them a little bit about what you do. You've talked a little about Wycliffe, and on the handout that you have on your chair, it talks more about the ministry. But tell them a little bit about what you do for them.
Yeah, so on a typical week, when I'm there, I'm fixing and flying airplanes or working on our runway information. So there I'll be flying into remote areas, and the reason why we do all that flying is it's a lot faster than walking, and it's a lot safer, honestly, than walking when in a place like that, especially if you have injuries and stuff. So the main purpose of why we're flying is for Bible translation projects that are happening. We also do flying for community development, there's schools that are under construction. We do medevac and medical evacuation flights as well, occasionally, and then we fly for different people that are just wanting to get from the village to town and stuff. So there's a whole variety. But the main reason is for Bible translation projects. Molly got to join along on one of the flights, and our two passengers in the back were Pilatus and Anadius. Those two guys are helping translate the Lepke New Testament, which is in process right now. And it's a joy to me to be able to take a small part. We're not translators ourselves, but we can take a small part in a role to help with that. Now, currently, while we're stateside, I'm working remotely on I work on runway information and stuff, so I'm working remotely on some digital work for our team that, because they're kind of short-staffed with the visa situation.
I love, Jonathan, that you took the gift and training that God gave you to take that as a missionary. Sometimes we have these certain pictures in our mind about what a mission, you have to be a preacher or a singer or whatever, and I love the way that God used your giftedness and your training exactly for where he wanted you to be in Indonesia. And I wonder, Molly, if you might respond to like some of the differences between, I know that there's a vast difference between where you're at in Indonesia and here, but help us understand a little bit about those changes and differences.
So everything is different, so it's not fair to give 3 minutes to describe all the differences there, but I guess I thought I'd just pick one fun thing as far as everyday life living over there. The next picture is this guy's riding a motorcycle, and it's piled high with all the produce and vegetables that he picks up at the market and brings it around the neighborhood and sells it, and so I listen for the guy yelling, "Vegetables!" And then I run out there with my wallet, and I get to pick some fresh produce for that meal for that day.
It's delivery.
It's like an ice cream truck. Yeah. They just have so many different versions of ice cream trucks. And so, anyways, that's just a fun little culture thing. The next slide is a picture of me and my friend Melon. And so as far as like a personal, Papuan culture is very unique in that there's all these remote villages and the people that don't have much access to God's word or don't have access to outside culture and things like that, Melan's story And getting to know her and hearing about her background helped me to see the impact of Bible translation for her people. So she lived with us for a few months right before we came to the States, and that's a whole nother story. But she it was a really great experience, and I asked about her background. She said that in her village, during the time of like her grandma, so just a few generations back, her people were constantly, she said, we lived in darkness, constantly living at war with revenge killings within their tribe and outside of their tribe. She said, my people practice cannibalism and complete darkness. But when the gospel came, her people were able to start living in the light. And she said, we don't do those evil things anymore. She said, well, I know that the Wycliffe missionary that went in there, there's lots of different ministries, but it happened to be a Wycliffe missionary that came in and translated the New Testament. And so that made a huge impact on her people and her life specifically. And when she lived with us, I got to see her daily routine. And it turns out every evening that she would usually with her family read the Bible together before they go to bed. And she kind of expected that with us. And I was kind of convicted because we would just usually, you know, want to watch a TV show or movie and go to bed. Just you veg out at the end of the day and go to sleep.
Yes.
So I asked her, because I wrongly assumed maybe this is like trying to be a super Christian or trying to earn favor with God or something. And I asked her, so why do you like to read your Bible so much? And she said, well, this, like, if my Father in heaven gave his word to me, I want to get to know him better. And I was really convicted by that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of cultural differences and some things that I've learned and picked up from friends there.
Yeah, just let that sit there for just a minute. I mean, what an impact, truth, from a young believer.
Yeah.
Jonathan, tell us a little bit, just because we're at High Point and we've been partnering with you and Molly and Wycliffe, what difference does it make? Like, how does that look for you guys? I think that will help us kind of know what does our partnership do for you?
Yeah, I think about it like links in a chain. Mm-hmm. Like in Romans 10, when Paul talks to the Romans, says, how can they call on him whom they have not? How's it? It's a called. I got to look it up again. How can they call on him whom they have not believed? How can they believe in him whom they have not heard? How can they hear unless it is preached? Mm-hmm. And how can they preach unless they are sent? There's these links of different people doing different roles along the way. For one, the end result is that every nation, tribe, people, and language coming before the throne. And that's where I see ourselves kind of like a middle link in that. Mm-hmm. We're not translating the Bible, and even the people who are translating the Bible, I mean, there's other people locally that need to preach the Bible and in relevant contextual ways. We're kind of removed. I'm fixing and flying airplanes, mm-hmm. but it's all part of these links that are with the end results of people coming to know Jesus. So High Point in that process is another link in that, and sending, and that's something absolutely vital for the way that missions works. As well, I wanna make a special plug that there are some people in this room possibly who might be thinking about doing some sort of short-term or even long-term type of service. And crossing some border or crossing some culture, whether that's crossing, God calls all of us to come out of our comfort zone, and this is not just something for specific people missionaries are just the only people called to reach out to people different than them. No, that's the call of every believer. So whether you're crossing the street to talk to somebody who's of a different culture or crossing a border, we could use people who are interested in God being praised by people from every nation.
Mm, I love the picture of the links. Molly, thanks so much for you guys sharing. I want to end with you just kind of letting us know how we can pray for you. He was just talking about the need. Maybe you could start there.
Yeah, so we've been waiting to go back to Indonesia, and with COVID restrictions, it's been really complicated to get our visa application through. So you could pray for just a successful visa application going through, and our family, Jonathan and I have a 7-month-old son, and so we're excited to bring him there and raise him there, and we're just very eager to go back. The next picture is a picture of me with a few friends from church. We just really missed those opportunities we had to be there. So that's a big prayer. And our team, like the aviation team that we work with, that Jonathan works with, is really short-staffed. And so they're very eager for families like us. There's a few other families that work with our team that have been stuck in the States as well. So that they would have endurance to wait through until we're able to kind of like make up for some of the lost time and stuff.
Well, we love that we got to see your family grow while you've been here. That's been exciting. And would you thank Jonathan and Molly for me for helping us understand? And speaking of those prayer requests that are on your sheet, Tim is going to lead us just through some time. We would not want to miss this time for us to join together and pray for some of these needs.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. So hopefully you've really enjoyed getting a flavor of the various places that as a church we're involved. And now I'm going to invite you to join together to pray individually or perhaps with someone you're here with. Anything that might have really touched your heart this morning as you're hearing about the stories and the work in Guatemala or Ethiopia or in Indonesia. So I'm just going to give you a time here to come before the throne and bring your prayers to him. I'll give you a moment of silence here. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come before your throne, to bring our petitions before you. We thank you for your Son that has provided salvation to every tribe and tongue and nation around the world. And your desire is that every man and woman and child would bend their knee and call you Lord. God, we ask for your strength. We ask for your perseverance. To continue to bring the gospel message to many who haven't heard. And while we know that this global pandemic of COVID has really impacted the ability to gather and to touch people, we also know it's created opportunities for your church to step forward, to take leadership in serving those who are in need, and to show your care and compassion. And by doing so, God, to raise up disciples and to bring your good news to places perhaps where it couldn't have gone before. So we rejoice at those things, and we bring all this before your throne in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Hello, High Point. I would like to give you a heads up about the message series that I will begin next Sunday. I'm going to be addressing racism over 3 weeks. And I know there's a lot of feelings about that. And the series, I'm actually entitling the series Racism? Because people wonder, does racism still exist? If it does, is it inside individual hearts, or is it systemic? Or is it a combination of both? And how do we address racism? Do we embrace the ideology of critical race theory that's out there, or do we not? And these are questions that I think are really, really important. And I have actually been preparing this message series for over a year. I have been reading and listening and talking about this issue, trying to get my mind around it. And I'm encouraging you to please come back next week as we start that message series. And here's my promise to you. It's going to be biblical. It's not going to be political. We're going to see, what does God's Word have to say, and how does God's Word speak into our hearts and where we might be. And as I said, the ideology that is out there that I think needs to be measured up against the gospel. What does the Bible have to say? And that's what I plan to do. Admittedly, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to ask for your prayers because I'm kind of anxious about this. I'm a little nervous about this because of how volatile the issue is. But I think it's something that we need to desperately address. So please come back next Sunday as I begin that series. Please come with an open mind and an open heart and really say, God, what do you want me to understand? What do I need to hear from you on related to this issue? I pray that you'll come humbly like that. I will seek to teach humbly like that. And let's see what God does with that, okay? So I'll see you next Sunday.
Are we there? Sorry. It's only left and right, Evan. Sorry, I should get that. So thanks so much for being part of us, celebrating what's going on around the world. I want to give you just a couple of plugs for mission things that are coming up. We didn't have a mission auction last May, and we're not having one this May due to the pandemic. But come September 18th, we are going to have a mission experience that will have fundraising involved and some auctions, some similar things that we've had in the past. So you want to mark your calendars for that. And also, we are partnering with some other churches in the community to offer a class starting August 15th that'll meet on Sunday afternoons for a few hours. It's called Perspectives. And it's really with the idea that we all have a global size view and mission in as being a Christ follower. And it takes four vantage points or perspectives in teaching about global missions. And it's an exciting class. I'm very thrilled that we're able to be a part of that. And in coming weeks, you're going to hear more details about it and how to get signed up. But I just wanted to put that out there so you would know. I want to just end with our offering time. If you want to just go ahead and stand, I want to bless the offering and dismiss you. But today, since we have been celebrating all that God is doing through High Point, a lot of that is through your faithful giving to missions. And if you feel led today to give over and above what you usually do to give to missions, you can just mark it missions. If you're streaming online, you can do that in the app. If you're not prepared to do that today, you can do it this week or anytime this month. But everything that we celebrated today is because of your faithfulness and gifts, and we just want that to continue. So will you join me in praying for that? God, we are grateful and acknowledge that you are the supplier of every gift, every resource, everything that you've asked us to steward, God, it comes from you. So I pray as we give our tithes and offerings today, God, whether it's online or here in person, that it would be out of love and commitment to you. And God, whatever that you might prompt to be given for missions, I pray that you would multiply it in a way that Temesk and Diego and New Life Ethiopia, all of them would be blessed, God, and your gospel would just be furthered above and beyond within in Indonesia as well, God. And we commit to steward that well. And we pray this in your name. Amen.